reading from three different portions, two out of 1 Corinthians and then also 2 Corinthians, and these are verses that the Lord has brought to my mind. The last few days I've been camping out in 1 and 2 Corinthians, and in the studio with me is Pastor Jason Schiffo, and so these are going to be verses that we're going to talk about in a minute or two. So listen up, Brother Jason, and I think you'll be encouraged by these verses. In fact, one might turn into one of my life verses or something that I want to have everyone memorize.
Whenever you call me Brother Jason, I think I've become a monk.
Yeah. So here's the first one. This one I think we can all memorize together and get down pat today. It's 1 Corinthians 16:14. And I had Jason look this one up because I thought it's got to be one of the top five shortest verses in the Bible. And so it'll be a real easy one to memorize and take to heart. But as Jason did his quick little search, we found out it didn't make the top five. And we're still not certain if it's in the top 10. But I'm thinking it's got to be in the top 10 because there's only four words. But he kept finding these obscure ones. This one in Job that was only like 7 or 8 letters. He said. Because everyone knows or has been told oftentimes the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept out of John.
Right.
And then you said, nope, there's one shorter. And I'm like, well, maybe everyone says the shortest verse in the New Testament is Jesus wept. I never heard that qualification.
No, it was really interesting because when I Googled it, Jesus wept still comes up as on like lay websites. They come up, Jesus wept as the number one. But I pulled this off of a scholarly website. It's a tool that I have on my phone for being able to study the Bible. And on there it was, he said. And it goes by letters, not by, obviously, words.
And so we both turned to Job because I couldn't believe it. And sure enough, that is the whole, and it's he said, colon, and why they decided to have that as the verse. But that's true. So Jesus wept, I guess, is the second shortest verse in the Bible. And this is, I'm believing, in the top 10. But it's one that I think we all can take to heart. And I've tried to put it into practice each and every day, a number of times throughout the day. But it's, like I said, 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. Mm. Isn't that kind of like a guiding principle for all of our lives? I mean, this could be a favorite verse of everyone. All day long, think about that. Do everything in love. Enough said. I mean, you know, what else do we need to know? If we do everything, I mean, we need to know that God loves us. We need to love God. But before we did anything, before we said anything, are we doing it in love? Powerful verse. I think a life transformational verse for us all.
Yeah, but a lot of Christians might, and a lot of people might argue back and go, well, does everything mean everything? I mean, do I have to do everything in love?
Yeah.
I mean, really, because think about 2 Timothy 4, I believe it's 2, you know, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke with gentleness and great love and that. Do we know how to rebuke in love?
Well, I think also we'd have to define what does it mean to love? Because love can take on many different forms. I mean, there's tough love. I mean, love isn't just we show warm fuzzies to everyone all the time. Sometimes to really love someone means to correct, rebuke, to point out things, to discipline.
A professor I had many years ago, he talked about love in terms of a fish tank. He said, we're like the fish in the fish tank, and love is the water. Without the water, the fish would die. So the fish need the water. So if you take the water out there, the fish are dead. Now, within the fish tank, there are a lot of things that we have to purify and take out because there's algae and there's all kinds of things in there. And the love envelops the fish. But then there's other things that have to happen in there also. So we have to think of it like that, that love has to be the thing that we cannot do without. I mean, I really think that that's the only way we're going to put love first is if we say we can't do without love. But I think we're really going to have a lot of trouble because just to think that we'd have to excise from a lot of our rebuking and a lot of our correction, we'd have to excise some of that emotion and really seek God's heart first. I mean, when I get mad at my wife, I would have to go.
Which almost never happens.
Which never happens.
I think the
as
last
long
time
as you
was
talk,
like 16 years
right,
ago.
Right. Never happens at all as long as you talk to me first. Yeah. But how many of us, when we get angry, you know, and I'll use my kids as a great example. You know, you come home and there's this stuff all over the floor, you know, the things that we've got these little letters that are like magnets that go on the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what, but every day it's the kids put them on the floor instead of on the refrigerator. So every day, every morning, you're going to step on them. Every night when you come home from work, you're going to kick them with your feet. They drive me crazy. And so I seriously, at least once a day, am going, pick these letters up. You know, but in that moment, and it's kind of a funny example, but in that moment, you know, before I get angry, before I exercise my emotion, will I exercise my devotion? Hey, that's really good. Did you like that?
Can I write that down? That'll make a Facebook post, dude.
That's 100 page, 134 in the book I'm going to write. Before you exercise your emotion, exercise your devotion. But I mean, will I? Will I say to God, like, God, how can I, in this moment, love? You know, instead of yelling at my kids, can I bring them in and gingerly and nicely wrap my arms around them like the water in that fish tank and say, guys, you know, when Daddy comes home, he steps on these things. Can we please pick them up and put them back on the refrigerator where they go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can we do that? And I think that's where we really struggle. I think that's why we don't want to love in everything, you know, because we don't see that. But when you look at Jesus' life, when Jesus corrected and he rebuked, he still did it in love. I mean, to sit down at the table with the Pharisees and call them a brood of vipers and do that, he still sat at the table with the Pharisees. Yeah. And the only reason that he was correcting them was because he knew that they could do better. He knew they could be better.
And he loved them. He was looking out for their best interest.
Right.
Well, that's why I love this, do everything in love, because it's like it's like that Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. And it's like, I love that everything. And so this for me is, because I tend to be self-centered, I think about my way, and it's like, am I being loving on that racquetball court? Am I being loving in this next conversation I'm going to have with the person? Am I going to extend love in this situation? As I'm driving, am I thinking loving thoughts in everything? I want to learn. There's a huge chasm between what I actually practice and what I want to practice.
Sure.
But it's like, Lord, I want to get better in loving, and I want to do everything with that mindset of, you love me, help me extend love. You know, the proper kind of love in all these situations.
But think about that salvation model that we always see that people draw for salvation, where they have the chasm. Because you mentioned the chasm, and I think it bears, in this situation and in a lot of situations, we have a chasm. And that chasm is, the one side of the cliff is our fallenness, and the other side of the cliff is perfection. And it can only be attained by dropping the cross in the middle there.
Right.
The bridge, the vehicle that we can use to bridge our fallenness and our perfection. And so I think that emotions, while good and positive things, sometimes really manifest our fallenness, because we allow our emotions to take us places that we shouldn't go because we allow them to run ahead of God. Once again, we exercise our emotions instead of our devotion. And I think that you're saying the exact same thing I was. We're just kind of coming at it from a different angle, that we need to drop the cross in there in that chasm and seek God's heart first, because what does the Bible say? We love because he first loved us. So he defines for us love. So if we don't go back to Jesus and ask him, how do I love in this situation? I've said this for many years. If I want to know how to love my wife better, I need to go and love Jesus more, because Jesus teaches me how to love above and beyond all things. If I want to know how to forgive somebody, I have to go to Jesus, because Jesus is going to show me what true forgiveness looks like. My love on my own forgiveness, my own all those things, they're fallen, they're broken. You know, so we need to go to Jesus first, because Jesus is what does the scripture say? The author and the perfecter of our faith, the author and the perfecter of our walk, of the things that we can do. And so wouldn't you go back to the author? I mean, I see all kinds of people going, you know, I want to lose weight, so I just bought this book. You know, why don't you go to the author and perfecter of what it means to do some of these things? I mean, your results will be entirely different when you turn it over to Jesus.
And the one that created your very body and has your best interest in mind. Hey, you don't know this, but this is going to tie in my two
Whenever
other
you
verses.
Say that, it really... It's like you took a shotgun out and you said, which leg is more vital?
Yes. Well, no, we're talking about love here, and there's so many different verses throughout 1 and 2 Corinthians that I've just been highlighting. I mean, if you see these four pages, look at how many different things are highlighted, because this is my third read-through this chronological Bible. Mm-hmm. And so I have red ink, I have black ink, and blue ink. But listen to this, and this ties in with the first one, but these are a couple different verses that I want to commit to memory and think about. And this is out of 2 Corinthians, so this is just a couple pages later, and then I'm going to go back to my other one, but this ties in well. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, so another verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. But I love that concept, and I highlighted, circled, and X'd, and stars to the side of the page, for Christ's love compels us. And I think that's how, again, we can learn to go back, if I go back to that, 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. We can only do everything in love, or even try to achieve that, because of Christ's love for us.
So let's bridge the two texts there together. Let's bridge the ideas. Let's look at the verb, do everything in love, do. Well, how do we do? Only Christ can compel us to do it. And so once again, we have to go back to Jesus. Jesus has to be, you know, one of my life verses, well, it's a life passage, I guess you would say, comes out of Ephesians chapter 2 at the end, you know, about he came and he preached peace to those who are far and those who are near, and all had access to the Father by one Spirit. And it goes on to say that, coincidentally, you know, that we are all members of God's kingdom. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Christ Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And it's fascinating that they say the chief cornerstone, because the cornerstone is the brick that they would lay down that would let them know that the whole building is straight. If you didn't have the cornerstone laid right, if you didn't have the chief cornerstone, your building ran the chances of being crooked. So you had to have a chief cornerstone. Now take that and just transfer it into people's lives. And they go, I don't know why my life is such a mess. I don't know why my building is crooked. Your building is crooked because you don't have the chief cornerstone in place. You don't have Jesus. You haven't put Jesus first. So no wonder your building is crooked. And then people go, well, I don't understand why my marriage is messed up. Well, you know what? People come in and my marital counseling style is it's rock solid. It's like a roller coaster. Honestly, people come in and they go, hey, we want to talk to you about our marriage. I go, okay. And then we get done with the session, and they'll go, we never talked about our marriage. We just talked about Jesus. Right. Because Jesus defines your marriage. Jesus defines your love. Jesus should define everything in your life, your money. I mean, does Christ love? And remember, love is the totality of all of it. It's Jesus wrapping his arms around your entire life. Does Christ's love compel everything you do? Because if you allow it to, you'll be more generous, you'll be more integrous, you'll have better character, you'll be more loving, you'll be more forgiving, you'll do all the things that Jesus does. You know, it's like a number of weeks ago, we talked about that passage where it says, if you pray anything in my name, then it'll be given to you. And people go, well, I prayed for a 4x4 truck and it still hasn't come. Is Jesus real? You know, but if you put Jesus first, if you get in that place where Jesus has his arms wrapped around your life, then the things that you pray for will be the things that encompass Jesus' generosity, his faithfulness. It's all the things that Jesus is about. You know, and I think that often we don't let Christ compel us. You know what we do is, I think that, I hope I don't offend anybody, but I think that we put Jesus in our pocket, and then we take Jesus out when we think it's time for Jesus to do his thing. You know, we go like, oh no, I just found out my grandma has cancer. Let me get my Jesus out. And then we go, yeah. Jesus, can you help me? I'll rub you like a rabbit's foot. And we don't realize that that's not what Jesus isn't a mechanism for salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. He isn't a little thing that we do. He isn't a self-help measure. He isn't any of that. He isn't a good luck charm. Jesus is the totality of everything that we do. That's why he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you walk in my way and you follow my truth, you'll have a different life. But some people go, well, I don't really want to walk in your way. And I mean, I only like some of your truth. And why don't I have that life you promised me? Well, you don't, because you didn't allow me to compel you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you ready for another one?
Sure, let's go.
With only a couple of minutes left. And I want to read this little note from us.
That's not a little note. It's a whole page.
Oh, I know. So we're going to see if I have time for that, too. Well, this third one, and again, there were so many different things. So my recommendation, camp out in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians today or this week. But this one is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. And I guess I'll read 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And I'm thinking in light of even yesterday's testimony where I had Jessica Kreeb in the studio and her daughter Allie, but Jessica talked about some of her faith journey and some of the mistakes she had made and just how people came alongside and comforted her and how she's seeing that same comfort that she received from God and from others, she can extend to people. And I just love that concept that, you know, if we've gone through some heartache, some troubles, some trials, some tribulations, oftentimes God will use those very things that he's taken us through, how he's navigated us through those troubled waters, and use them so that we can be a comfort to others. And it's just a great concept that in God's economy, all those heartaches, those hurts, those disappointments, those successes, those achievements, those ways where we've seen him answer prayer can be used for us to encourage and bless others. And it's just that part of community where my experience can not just be used for me, but can also be a helpful vehicle for you and others.
Yeah, and let me share out of, again, it's in Ephesians a little bit farther over. I was just looking at that as I had my Bible open when I quoted Ephesians 2 there. But it says in chapter 4 and beginning of verse 14, it says, "Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming." You look at that and you go, how am I an infant? I mean, we're all infants in some way. We're all short of that glory. I mean, we're going to get up to heaven and we're going to go, oh my gosh, everything I thought isn't really the fullness of what I know. And it's different than oh my gosh. I mean, we're not floating on clouds and nobody has little wings. I mean, oh wow. You know, not to be blown by the wind of every teaching and the cunningness and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. But like Mark said, in community. And it goes on to say, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, that's you and me, we're all joined together. But you know what part of the ligaments of that body is? It's love. And it's speaking the truth in love. It means that you can go up to your friend and you can say, you know what? I'm going to put it all on the line right here. Me coming up to Mark and saying, Mark, I'm going to put it all on the line right here because I think you're doing something that I really find sketchy or I really find there's a mistake here and I need to talk to you about this. And this isn't something that's happened. I want to clarify that.
Yeah, but please do.
but my
board might be tuned in today.
but I mean, it's coming up to somebody, your friend, and saying, I'm going to put it all on the line. This person might not be my friend after this, but I love them so much, it pains me to watch them continue to do this. It pains me because I love them so much. And some of us think that love is skirting the issue so I don't hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. And true community embodies a love where I have to say, you know, this is wrong and I love you. And not only do I love you so much that I want to tell you it's wrong, but I love you so much that I'm going to walk with you through restoration.
Mm. Well, let me share also a side tangent, but this is a couple that loves each other and they just recently, this past Sunday, celebrated an anniversary. I don't know how many years, probably 30, 40 year anniversary.
Wow.
They've been married a long time, but they sent me this email and I want to point it out to you because we had an hour-long discussion. I'm glad you got here early today. We talked for about, I think, an hour and 5 minutes before we began with this Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. And I told Jason the whole background story. He didn't know all the different ways that God was at work 17, 18, 19 years ago to birth this radio ministry. So I took him through the whole Dr. Bruce Dunn story and many of the ways how we met up in Washington, D.C. and the radio station got birthed and some of the background experiences that brought it all together and how God weaved that Urbana 93 Missions Convention into something where I met a lot of local pastors and the volunteers and supporters that initially helped launch this radio ministry. Anyway, so we got a whole earful, but it'll fit really well with this little email I got just a couple days ago. It's from Don and Vera, and they write, and I think this will help you see the ministry work that God is doing through Great News Radio. It says, "Hi, Mark. Another year, another wedding anniversary. It seems to be picking up speed with each passing year. Where did it go? Again, Vera and I want to celebrate this November 4th, so that was this past Sunday, by renewing our annual pledge in support of the ministry of WGNN, Great News Radio. We try to ensure that the majority of our annual giving goes to kingdom-building purposes. We consider WGNN's radio ministry mission to educate, edify, and evangelize listeners throughout Central Illinois and West Central Indiana and beyond via the Internet is one of the most cost-effective ways of having a positive impact on many thousands of people. It is a true joy to share in a little part of that!" Exclamation point. "This past year saw us come to that time in our lives when we are both retired and have less on fixed income. While we were a little uncertain as to just how God might impact our giving ability, God continues to bless and provide in spite of those necessary adjustments, and we are able to continue in that giving. We praise God for how WGNN continues to be 100% listener-supported and does not need to engage in periodic fundraising campaigns. As in previous years, we would like to take the special occasion to encourage more radio listeners to prayerfully consider giving to WGNN on a regular basis. While giving to the Lord is more meaningful when it involves some degree of sacrifice, over the past several years we have found giving monthly via automatic funds transfer through our bank is one of the easiest ways of giving regularly. And that's something that we provide where people can give through their credit card, through automatic funds transfer, through PayPal on our website. But anyways, they do it, the automatic funds transfer, I do it on about the 16th of every month. And there's about 20 or 30 different families that give that way each and every month. But anyways, they put, it's another way of giving to the Lord first, spreading the gift out over 12 months, which enables giving even more than we might if made in one, two, or more lump sum donations. A few dollars right off the top of each month's income, even retirement income, doesn't hurt that much, but can really easily add up over the year, making a lot from a little, and it does not get put off or overlooked. Again, we'd urge other listeners to seriously consider this mode of regular giving to the radio ministry. Again, thank you for all you do and the opportunity to share in the joy of the Great News Radio ministry of serving the Lord, continuing servants in Christ, Don and Vera. Well, anyways, I just thought how unique. Here's a couple that had an anniversary this past Sunday, and they continue to decide that their funds can further the radio ministry and be used of God. And here we are talking about some scripture verses that just were something that I wanted to share with you, and I hope become a blessing to many people's lives today, that concept that God's love can compel us.
Yeah.
And as it compels us, we can do everything in love, or that can be our goal to set out, Lord, go with me today, help extend love in and through me, in and through my thought life, in and through my verbalizing things to family members, to friends, to coworkers. Help me be that ambassador for you in this hurting world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to share that with our Great News Radio listeners, and thank you, Don and Vera, for exhorting our radio listeners to be financially supportive of this ministry work that we do. We're 100% listener supported, so it's through your gifts, through your donations, through your prayers that we can continue to proclaim the Good News message of Jesus 24 hours a day. So if you'd like to be a part of that giving family, write us today. Our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or you can even call in a donation. We can take your credit card information or set up the automatic funds transfer. Call us at 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.